Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but San Antonio's internet is so slow and it's more expensive than it really has to be. That's a complaint that's all the more frustrating when you learn that they're already buried in the city is a fiber network that would give the city hyper internet speed, and it's already publicly owned, but a state law keeps us from tapping in. We're talking about a plan this half hour for Uber broadband in San Antonio, and with me to discuss it is former city council member Leticia Ozuna here in the studio. Welcome to The Source.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm so
and
happy
on the
here.
Line we've got current council member Ron Nuremberg. Ron, welcome to The Source.
Hi, Dave, and hi, Councilwoman.
So, Leticia, let me ask you, describe the problem. What is the issue? What is our condition of internet in San Antonio?
I think when you look at, in San Antonio, we have some commercial major providers that are giving access to our homes. But we've got hospitals, we've got city, we've got county, we've got universities, we have public schools that aren't able to participate in the fiber that the city of San Antonio owns. In some neighborhoods, there's household disconnects of over 80%. That's 80% of the households don't have internet access in their homes. We know that kids with internet access are 6 to 8% more likely to graduate from high school. That's absolutely something that we know. We know that universities have to compete for research opportunities with state-of-the-art institutions that are able to provide high-capacity access. A quick example is University of California at Santa Cruz brought in a high-capacity access. That simple act alone had the university able to participate in the Human Genome Project. The Human Genome Project is data intensive. It takes a lot to immediately post results to the main store. If our universities are constrained, and I would argue artificially constrained, from being able to compete on a level playing field, that holds us back. I look at this very much as cost savings, pure and simple, as a first step. And the second, in terms of opening up connectivity, is to force a conversation with our state legislature about what is internet connectivity. Is it infrastructure or is it commodity? Is it something that we need to be an economically competitive city, or is it something that is only for the rich and it's not meant to be distributed evenly and equitably? And I think that's a great conversation to have. And while we're having it, I really want us to connect our schools, our hospitals, our universities, and just start making the strides to maintain our foothold as a 21st century city.
So Ron, we hear that there is already a great fiber network available, already buried, it's already built in San Antonio. Where is that network? Who built it? Who put it there? Who paid for that?
Well, I mean, this is a credit to the leadership in San Antonio over decades. We've always been a very future-focused community, and that started as far as the broadband network and the fiber that's underground, which is CPS-driven. That started in the late 1990s. So, you know, when the councilwoman talks about being a 21st century economy in a future-looking city, that's well within the realm of what we do. And, I think the broadband initiative, as she aptly put it, this is a digital divide issue. It's also an economic equity issue. But more important than that, it is basic utility infrastructure for a 21st century city.
This is a community conversation. If you get a question or a comment about the high-speed internet making it accessible in San Antonio, please call in. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. So CPS Energy built this, and CPS Energy is a city-owned utility. So basically, this is a city-owned resource that we have at our fingertips if we could tap in. So Ron, I hear that there's this state law that prevents us from doing it. Tell me more about this law.
Well, so it's part of the Public Utility Regulatory Act, and you know we can, as Councilman Ozuna did mention, I mean that is an obstacle in terms of unlocking the access to that network. But we already have the ability to plug in certain public entities, and that's kind of what we're doing right now One of those, when she talks about hospitals, when she talks about university community, when she talks about library systems, all those are things that we can get started. But we need to make sure that we're moving in the right direction for unlocking all of these things so the citizens can be able to access it long term.
Now, Austin is getting Google Fiber, Leticia. That's going to make them very competitive. This is like, you know, just it's like internet coming at your house like water from a fire hydrant. I mean, this is awesome. If them having that kind of puts San Antonio at a competitive disadvantage, would this help shore up that disadvantage if we were able to tap into this resource here?
I'm really glad you brought up Austin because I want to talk about a model that Austin has that's been incredibly successful for them. And it's been running almost, I think it was 20 years in August that they celebrated their 20th anniversary for their Austin Telecommunications Network. It's a public entity network. It's hooked up schools. It was actually an initiative started by Austin Independent School District, but it services the schools, the state of Texas, University of Texas system, the LCRA, the city of Austin, state of Texas. I could go on. There's like about 14 participants. Since the time that they've started that network, they've managed to realize partner savings. Like the cost of the network to run it costs about $2 million a year to run this network. It's about 350 sites that are hooking up to this network with 14 participants. $2 million a year to run this network. And let me give you some quick numbers on the other side of that. So one school district can save $2 million a year just by being a participant on this network. Here in the city of San Antonio, we've got projects, some single projects run by county or university hospital that are just for a last mile of fiber that are $1 or $2 million. Well, that could operate a network of this size. Now, in terms of like the competitive bid, you can bet that Google Fiber, when it looked to come in to partner with Austin to lay in fiber, they were very much looking at the ground and the institutions that were there and the partners that they would be able to set up. And right now, Google is talking to the Greater Austin Telecommunications Network to provide content privileges on their network. You're thinking like live streaming classrooms, performance from university into the home. So this network will also be a content provider. That's pretty incredible. It's a really great model. It's one that has been successful in Texas. And I think, you know, if Austin's got a pretty good playbook, we should definitely grab that page and then mold it to suit our San Antonio.
And Dave, if I can add one thing to that,
sure, Ron.
It's not often that you have the opportunity to do something so advanced with the infrastructure already laid. And that's the situation where you're in as a San Antonio community, is that this fiber is already there and the capacity is just is immense compared to the bandwidth that's already being used on it. So being able to unlock those pipes, so to speak, is very important. And you know, as far as what's needed to have happen, it's mostly regulatory.
All right, we're talking about a high-speed Uber broadband internet already buried in San Antonio, put there by CPS Energy. So this is a publicly owned resource that we're not able to tap into right now, but we've found out so far that if we were, we'd save millions of dollars many times over at local school districts and other places that use that type of resource, and how this would make San Antonio more competitive. We're going to dig a little more into this. We're going to take listener phone calls as well. If you want to jump in on this, the number is 614-8980, 614-8980. And plus, I would be able to download movies a lot faster if we had this. That would be awesome. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. San Antonio, the seventh largest city in the nation, has we have 1.4 million people, and the speed of our internet is no match for the Latvian capital of Riga. Their internet speed is at least 2.5 times faster than San Antonio, and it is a lot cheaper as well. It's 1/4 of the cost that we have here. Something's not right there. And by not having the fast internet that we could have in San Antonio, we're not as competitive. We're not we're spending resources in the wrong places, and we're not helping our kids because they're missing out at school because of some of the things that can be done on the internet can't be done because the internet's so slow there. If you're going to be talking about that right now, we want you to join us. Give us a call. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. And joining me now to talk about that, Leticia Azuna, former city council member, and on the line, Ron Nuremberg. He is a city council member right now. Let's go to the phones. Ron has called in. Ron, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Thank you. I had a question for your guests. They talked about the fiber that's in place that CPS installed. What is the reach of it, and how would are you talking about it being accessible to residential users, or are you just talking about schools and other public buildings? And how would the infrastructure be put in place if it was going to be served to the residents?
Okay, Ron, thanks for that great question. We appreciate that. And so, Leticia.
Yeah, and that is a very good question, Ron. So I should start off by saying today, the way that the state law is written, an entity like the City of San Antonio or CPS could not provide connection to your home. We cannot do that in today's regulatory environment. Now, there are plenty of cities where they can do that, Lafayette, Louisiana being one of them, Chattanooga, Tennessee being another, City of Los Angeles just cut an RFP to be able to provide the same thing. So many cities are doing that. In Texas, we can't. And that, I think, is part of a conversation that we should be engaging in, people here in San Antonio, in Houston, in Dallas, in Austin. But what we do have is a network that's in place that is roughly follows the same service pattern of the CPS utility main lines.
So is this like a backbone of a grid, but it's not connected to everyone's house, but it kind of, they've got spokes going to neighborhoods and where their power structure is.
That's right. When it was originally, my understanding in talking to some of the engineers from CPS is that when it was originally conceived of, there was an idea of ISP becoming an ISP provider. That environment, those times of doing that was at a time when the telecommunications and the cable companies had not decided what their market strategy was going to be. And so, you know, we were in this very newly formed world, and it just did not work out very well for
us. Yeah, we were just figuring these things out as we were going.
That's right.
And CPS, they're already digging up the ground anyway to put down power lines. So let's throw in some fiber there as well.
Let's throw in some fiber. And there were many grants available as well to be able to do it. And it was very cheap at the time. So all of that groundwork was laid. Well, today, the environment is very different. AT&T has come out and made a public statement saying that they can't figure out how to make a market case for laying in more broadband. They're very much challenged with rural connectivity and have said that, you know, they are the wireless company. Now, there may be, there are strategic urban areas or parts of cities that are high income that they have targeted, but much of San Antonio doesn't fall into that. Time Warner Cable has decided that they're mainly about content. They're about NFL football. They're about hockey. They're about basketball. And they're about HBO. And speed is just not way up on their list. And I should say, AT&T has done a very good job, you know, with 4G and with enacting their wireless strategy. That's great. But that isn't going to hook up a campus of 700 kids that can only access about the same level of capacity as a standard household on the north side of San Antonio. That's just not going to cut it.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. Andrew has called in. Andrew, thanks for calling in. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you, David. Yes, I was wondering what the actual wording of this regulation is, because it sounds like that it's just trying to protect the money that's being made by the telecom industry that are already in San Antonio.
So are you alleging that maybe some lawmakers in Austin wrote bills and passed them in order to protect big money contributors?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Let me recommend a book to you. It's called Captive Audience. It came out this year. It's written by Susan Crawford, and I think she makes a very good case about broadband as a utility, that we should be thinking about utility models for broadband, and it gives you kind of a baseline to start thinking and asking your elected officials some pretty hard questions.
So, but is this law, was it written in order to protect these companies, these telecom companies? Can anyone answer that?
Dave, if I can jump in on the last two callers, and, you know, the councilwoman explained very well, you know, the limitations we have with regard to connectivity for individual residents, but there are things that we can do. Universities being one of them, and other public entities with valid public purposes where we know that consumers are going, they're flocking to because they have access to the Internet. I mean, a lot of the neighborhoods and communities that are completely locked out of the digital divide find Internet in public places, and that's the kind of thing that we can do now. We can do connectivity at those places, and that's one of the reasons why I supported the SIPA compliance measures, because that helps us pull down federal funds that can provide for the connectivity to a broadband network. So, you know, all is not bleak with regard to connectivity to a area broadband network. We have some steps that we can take in the meantime.
That's right.
I can recall that when this was being passed in Austin, that there was a lot of discussion about cities creating a free internet and providing that, and then but they weren't sure if they're going to be able to do that. And then telecoms are coming in and saying, we want to put in internet, but we weren't sure if we put in the investment, then the cities will undercut us. So I think this was at a specific time, this law may have made sense, but now we have moved on and things look different now.
Yeah, and from a competitive standpoint, it's within Texas's interest that we maintain our competitive edge with regard to infrastructure and technology. So I can see this as a valid conversation to have on an economic development angle. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. Ramon has called in. Ramon, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? It's a very interesting subject here. You know, I lived out in Bull Verde area where they have GVTC, you know, and where AT&T doesn't reach. You know, they both have fiber optic. You know, and I moved, and now I moved over here to Stono, and we're right outside the area, and we don't have fiber optic, you know. So I guess, you know, the real question is, you know, how is this going to really, really help everybody who inadvertently we're going to end up paying for all this, no matter which way you paint it? And at the same time, you know, how are we going to compete with office prices as far as, you know, what they're charging?
Right. Thank you for that call, Ramon. Can anyone answer
that? Yeah, Ramon, I feel your pain. I moved from a city that had fiber to the home. I moved to the south side of San Antonio, which has very few competitive offerings. I opted, I've been kind of going, trying to figure out who gives me, you know, the best level of connectivity. I do software development and cybersecurity, so I'm very much about robust connectivity, and it has been a challenge and a struggle for my household access. Having said that, I will say that for most of our residential needs, you know, we're you know, probably like 70-80% spot on. But what worries me, what really concerns me, is, you know, when my hospital is my hospital district is paying over $1 million, where 15 police officers could be on the street for that $1 million. You know, it really worries me when my school district is paying $2 million, and I know that we could be running, you know, having additional teacher capacity in the school districts, you know, for that amount of money. So I really think the conversation should be, you know, what's the first step? And Ron has it right. This is the first step.
Okay, we did get a comment online. Would San Antonio's school districts be able to connect to the network like Austin ISD does? And that was written by Randy Bear. And Randy Bear also wrote a really good explainer on the RevardReport.com if you want to get some more information about this. But why not? I mean, these are public schools. They mm-hmm. are not making money, so they could mm-hmm. plug in. Why not let them plug in? Ron.
Actually, Councilwoman Ozuna, we've discussed this at some length, and there is a there is a challenge with the school districts, and it's a unique one. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, it is. So what's going the school districts? Like I said, like they said about the Gatton network, Austin Independent School District spearheaded it, but their environment was a little bit different than ours. What's really interesting in our case is that. the federal government has decided to start rebating connectivity for public school districts in the country. And the way that the rebate works is it has to, the connectivity has to come from a provider that is considered a universal service authorized corporation.
So there's some bureaucratic red tape.
We need somebody to clean it up. We need a couple of good public utility attorneys. We need some strategic direction papers. I mean, it's not
right. So is City Hall going to take the lead on this, Ron? Where are we going with this?
We are working to pull together public and private partners to move this forward. I can say that this is very much within our interest as a city, not only for the cost savings that Councilwoman Ozuna mentioned, but also to keep our competitive advantage. I mean, like we've been talking about, this is basic 21st century utility infrastructure, and we need to make sure we support it.
All right, Ron. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you calling in. Ron Nuremberg, he is the current city council member, also with me in the studio. Leticia Ozuna, she has been talking about broadband available now in San Antonio, put in place by CPS Energy. However, if we could cap into that, it would give the city as a competitive edge, be able to keep up with Austin as far as internet speed goes. Thanks for joining us. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.